5 o'clock hour here on WEEI Afternoons. That means you're getting in your car. Although we've talked about this, this may be a little bit of dated logic by us that some people leave at like 3:30 to get in their car to get home early.
Yep.
Traffic is a little different these days.
If they go at all.
Theoretically, Fred Flintstone used to slide down the dinosaur at 5 o'clock, and he'd be getting in his car or walking with his car around him, which never made any sense, and he'd be listening to WEEI if he'd be listening to The Drive to find out what's happening in the world of Boston sports.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep!
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
As you've noticed all day long here on WEEI, it's our first Patriots Monday of the year. You heard Mike Vrabel early this morning with the Greg Hill Show. And earlier in our show, you heard us talk to the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. If you missed that entire interview, we're not going to replay it now, but you can go back and listen to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, the Odyssey app where you can stream it, the iHeart app. We're everywhere. We're boots on the ground. We're even at practice. I had a couple of reporters come up to me like, wait a minute, radio guys go to practice? I didn't know that was a thing in Boston sports.
Just now noticing that we have had a footprint there basically for the entirety of training camp?
No, I think it was actually a passive-aggressive shot at others in town is the way I took it. It felt like there was a little tone about others who don't do it. So some of those media members, thank you for noticing.
Andrew, might I ask you also, since you probably tuned into that excellent Mike Vrabel interview this morning, his first of Patriots Mondays, what are they calling it, Mic'd Up Mondays or Mondays with Mike?
I'm not sure. I know it used to be Mayo Mondays. That didn't last long.
It didn't. Still waiting to hear from
Walk It Back
Mayo.
Tuesday. My bad Wednesday. What the hell did he say Thursday?
Yeah, he was the original Take Tuesday. He just had to like, oh boy, what did I do? Stacy, how are we going to fix this?
There was that whole kerfuffle about like, you know, Jones tried to stir up a thing like, oh, I heard him talking about, you know, like, why did they trade away Joe Milton? And so, you know, and they tried to make it sound like Mike Vrabel was covering up a whole thing, and then all of a sudden his tone changed, and did they lose him? Like, it's 6 a.m. Aren't people just allowed to, like, sometimes misspeak and also just be a little tired?
Also, haven't we been, hasn't it become accepted fact that Joe Milton asked for a trade? I thought that was accepted fact now, that Joe Milton asked to be traded, and there was very little trade market out there. And they traded him to a place where he thought he could have fun and go do good things. And
like overthrow receivers by 20 yards in a preseason game?
Well, I hated seeing that.
He was doing it in practice, and you people were giving him a party and buying him cake and beers and everything.
But the backflips!
I mean, yeah, the guy sucked for 3/4 of a preseason game, put up a little fake numbers late. Call him the Chisholm of the Cowboys. That's what we call him. And just, yeah.
How?
This whole thing
sir,
with Joe Milton.
Pistols at dawn, Andrew.
Yeah, the Joe Milton thing annoys me, but whatever. He's fun, strong arm, does backflips. Anyway, we got a real quarterback here in New England. His name's Drake May. He's on WEEI Afternoons. We talked to him earlier, and obviously, the first thing that you need to sort of establish with the new season, the quarterback, the coach, they're establishing a culture. So the first thing I asked him about was Mike Vrabel taking over the Patriots and what he's doing culture-wise.
So obviously the big talking point is Mike Vrabel's the head coach, culture, different things like that. How would you describe what Mike Vrabel is trying to establish here in New England in terms of culture?
I think just intensity. I think just bringing it every day, leaving your ego at the door, and then from there bringing it onto the field and finishing through the whistle, you know, doing the little things right. And I think that's just trying to you know, help us on the field when the little things, details and technique, you know, come into play. That's what he's trying to establish.
What's your role in that? Because I heard him this morning on our station say the quarterback can't take a day off. No matter what, he's the leader of the football team. So what is your role as sort of his top lieutenant?
Yeah, I think I think he hit it off the tee. Just bring it every day. You know, no days off. You know, when the team or the offense feels like you're kind of lagging around, it's my, you know, job to, you know, bring him up.
I just noticed it, and Dan Ball did too, based on the facial expression he made behind the glass. He hit it off the tee. Like, usually say he hit it on the head, right? Like, that was the phrase. Oh, he hit it right on the head there.
I really do enjoy Drake's command of the English language or how it comes to him.
Yeah, I enjoy that as well. Yeah, and it's a little different, a little southern charm to him. Maybe there's different sayings down there. He hit it off the tee. But that is, I mean, isn't, we've talked about that, Fitzy, that Mike Giardi, the MVP of this team is Mike Vrabel, and the face of the Patriots is Mike Vrabel, and all these things.
Correct.
And yet you hope by December and January, it's Drake May. Drake May's the face of the Patriots. Drake May's the leader of the Patriots. We're talking about Drake May sort of taking over Patriot Nation. That hasn't happened yet, right? We're still waiting for that transition of power, because right now he's even, you know, I referenced it elsewhere in the interview, some of the clips where Mike Vrabel is being very specific. Go celebrate with your teammate. Run down there. So, like, he is.
How many times did you get in the end zone last year, Drake? Right. Come on now.
He's almost micromanaging what Drake May is doing. But at some point, you really want Drake May to take this team by the reins, right?
And we're that'd be sweet.
Oh, are you editing together all his yas and ums?
Can I hear that again?
Wow.
That'd be sweet.
What? I mean, guys, he's our partner for the next.
You know, Bob, right there, Boston is.
He's our partner for the next 20 weeks on this program.
Partner? He doesn't even know your name.
That's
I'm
okay.
I'm making that the ringtone whenever any of you call from now.
Why does he need to know my name? I'm a little nobody, nothing named Andy on the radio. I'm just there to hold a microphone and ask.
You're host number one on WEEI Afternoons.
It's okay. We're all partners in this big game of entertaining football on
Patriots
Monday.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not a partner with you. But yeah, yeah.
Wow. Have you guys all turned on Drake May?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
What did he do to you guys?
He ignored my host.
Wow. I can't believe how quickly you guys have
between
turned
him and Will Campbell. I got to tell you, we're going to have and Barmore. Oh man, we're going to have a blast this season.
My only concerns about Drake May are totally production based on the football field.
Oh, he's not great there either. Thank you.
Don't turn the ball over, don't fumble, don't intercept, win games. Like, that's what I'm looking for. If he wants to say to start every answer, I'm fine with that. If he doesn't know my name, I'm fine with that. He's not the first. He won't be the last. Believe me. Hell, Christian Gonzalez was asked point blank, do you know the name of the show you're on here on WEEI every week? And he, no.
Nah,
just said a quick no. And for him, that was a lot of words. Okay, so Drake May, he is the top lieutenant as we try to establish the Mike Vrabel culture here in New England. And the last guy who was a top lieutenant for establishing a culture, established a dynasty. And as Fitzy noted, he was very excited about. He had his credentials to get down there to the pedestal, right next to the pedestal for the 12-foot-tall statue that is Tom Brady, although it's 17 feet tall if you put it on the pedestal because...
No arguing with the pedestal, Andy. The pedestal is nails.
What was the... 17 is the division titles, right? That's why
correct.
They said
yes,
17.
QB, yes.
Yeah. Do you believe all that, or do they make that up later?
No, I buy that.
So they were
but that would be kind of, don't you think that would be really coincidental that they made a 5-foot base and a 12-foot statue and like, oh, we lucked into it, 17. Let's explain it away that way.
I have no idea. I'd have to go around and look at other statues. Are most bases 5 feet tall? Or I mean, I wouldn't know. It's I'm not big in the world of sculptors or statues, as the texter said earlier. Yes, Dan Ball.
So was the head a bit underinflated on purpose?
Oh, wow. A Deflategate shot from...
He wasn't like this when they hired him.
Oh, my God,
You did this to him.
Kidding.
He's not Dan Ball anymore. Full name. He is now the DB behind the glass, because that's what he has become on that microphone. Wow, he has soured swiftly here in Boston sports. But yes, I asked Drake May what it's like, because Fitzy, you said you could see the statue from 100 yards away.
Easily, yeah. And the way that they had it lit, it just made it look like art, like something you need to see. Like it looked like some significant statue in a city that you would travel to see. Like there's something very striking about it when you step away from it and just first take it in from a distance.
So it's safe to say Drake May cannot ignore or avoid the fact that there is a Tom Brady statue looking down upon
it's out there.
New England right now in Patriot Nation and Gillette Stadium. Okay, so what's it like to feel that pressure of Tom Brady looking over your shoulder?
You referenced Tom Brady. He was in town, did an interview on the sideline during the game, obviously got the statue pregame. Do you feel any pressure of Tom Brady? Like, is there an aura, like a TB12 sort of hanging, especially now that there's literally a statue for the guy? Do you feel that at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say pressure. I think it's just appreciation for what he did here. how he played the position, you know, how he loved to win and wanted to win and how they did win. I think that's the biggest part. And I think definitely just try to, you know, watch an old tape of him with some of the same concepts of how he did things is pretty cool, you know, to watch. But for there, I wouldn't say pressure, you know, just trying to, you know, I was drafted maybe 5 years after he left here. So you know, I don't think, wouldn't say really any pressure.
That was the most interesting part to me, the end. Oh, don't be evil Tom now.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I got evil Tom laughing at his answers. DB Dan Ball making fun of him. Tough day
all
for
right,
Drake May.
All right.
Anyway, that last part, I was drafted 5 years after Tom Brady left. I thought that was a sneaky, smart thing to say, a sneaky sort of telling thing to say for Drake May. I'm not compared to Tom Brady because he was long gone and hard to find before I got here. They had other quarterback. Fitzy, you want to tell me all the great quarterbacks they've had since Tom Brady that Drake May needs to live up to? Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Like Stiddy, getting Liddy for Stiddy and Cam Jam. Then we had McCorkle.
Cam Newton. Yeah, did you want to give him $100 million or was it $200 million?
That was Wiggy that wanted to give him $200 million.
Sounded light there, like you were pretty excited to see Cam Newton.
I was. I love the Cam Jam. I'm one of the only Cam Newton defenders for his efforts. Didn't say he could throw the ball very well. Or
efforts?
That he was
we're giving
Cam Jam, Camalaba.
We're giving tri-trophies now. If you have effort, we give you a trophy
that's when
for
I,
it.
That's, I feel like when Cam Newton was the quarterback of the Patriots, that's when Moral Victory Monday was born here in WWE.
Wow. I loved Cam Newton, except when I watched him play quarterback for the Patriots, and they couldn't really score points, and it was. Well,
then we also had McCorkle. Then we had the Zapper. There was, I think, Axel Hoyer, the Destroyer. Brian Hoyer was in there as well. Then we also had. You can't forget last. Oh my God! How could I forget Jacoby Brissett? Yeah, not a lot of really good quarterbacks.
Is it a guarantee that Drake May is better than all of those guys right now? And I don't want to compare him, just like I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady. I'm not comparing him to MVP Super Bowl Cam Newton. I'm comparing him to the Cam Newton we saw play for the Patriots. Are we guaranteed this season to get better quarterback play than we've seen from everybody you just listed playing quarterback post-Tom Brady?
And you can take that to the bank. Yeah, that's. I think that is a very safe. It is a safe bet, a safe wager, presumption, if you will, that his stats will be the quality of play and the stats will be all better than any other quarterback since Tom Brady. In fact, you know, way better than the praiseworthy efforts of Mac Jones in the first year that he worked under Josh McDaniels back in 2021. I believe the weaponry is better. The coaching could very well be as good as well. The defense should be better. And I think Drake May's host of physical talents will slowly unfurl. I'm telling you, don't base how you feel ultimately on 2025 Drake May after the first month or even 6 weeks. Give him time. He
six weeks?
The project.
A third of the season? I'm not supposed to judge him?
No. By like mid to late October, we're going to start really seeing Drake May, quote, come into his own.
I also thought it was interesting there that when you listed all the reasons that Drake May is going to be better, Drake May was like sixth on the list. It was like his weapons are better, his defense is better, Josh McDaniels, his head coach. Like at some point you did actually round into form and mention Drake May's ability to play quarterback and what he's bringing to the field. So we'll see. I like Drake May. Dan Ball doesn't. As a texter pointed out, DB is a little spicy since he had his first beef sandwich. I don't know if that's what happened, but if you follow on socials, Dan Ball and Stiz went out this weekend and experienced some local fare. With the Chelsea boys.
It was fantastic.
Stanley, where'd you take him?
I took him. I hit up my good friend Andy Ferg. So shout out Andy.
He runs North Shore Beefs.
Yeah, North Shore Beefs. And he suggested Mike's in Saugus, which believe it or not, I had never been. Tremendous. I love Mike's in Everett, but I am happy that I took Dan to Mike's in Saugus. The presentation of the beef is a big part of it. It really is.
Can we save that drop of the presentation of the beef, please?
This thing was smothered in James River barbecue sauce. It was 10 out of 10 phenomenal. And then I took him to Kowloon for some Mai Tais.
Oh, my God. Dan, how was your first Kowloon?
It lived up to expectations. A really, really cool environment in there.
I freaking love that place. Yeah. I love Zeno's, love Mike's. Modern Butcher obviously does a killer job as well. Hot take on the three-way beef. Some of them are so good, I could do without the James River barbecue sauce.
Oh, see, I'd go without the mayo. I'm not a three-way guy.
Oh.
I've never had any of this because apparently I don't get to share in the fun.
I'll have to bring in some beefs for you.
Did you guys know?
Why don't we do what's your beef? Why don't we'll just do, we'll have an argument over beefs.
The thing that fascinated me too is Stiz was showing me the Facebook page that he belongs to for North Shore Beefs.
Oh, it's huge.
There's like a stats system. They have like analytics about their North Shore Beefs.
Yeah, like POB, price of beef.
Yep.
TOB, man. Time of beef.
Oh, there's, I like that.
There's a whole system.
I like that. Okay, we'll get back to that.
Speaking my language. Beef.
But first, we got to get back to our Drake May interview. I asked him for the quarterback question of the week this time because I don't know if everybody's aware, he did get married this offseason. It became a little bit of a point of criticism a couple different times because there was some question as to why he wasn't around as much, and he's getting engaged, and then he's getting married, and he's on his honeymoon. And then there was some misreporting in town about maybe he was donating his wedding gifts. So Drake May's offseason activities with his fiance and then turned wife was a big story. So I asked him if it just feels a little different to be a married quarterback.
How is life different as a married second-year quarterback now that you're married and I guess a little bit more mature? How's that different?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm 22. Just, I wouldn't say much is different. I think the big thing is, I've got somebody, my best friend beside me, when I, come home at night and, one of my biggest fans. So, other than that, she loves football, loves being out here to practice, and really than that, just try to grow up as fast as I can, but at the same time enjoy it. I think that's one of the best parts about being young. Enjoy it, and, remember these days, and it's her birthday today, so shout out to my wife.
And finally, is she? You mentioned she's your biggest supporter, though. Is she critical at all? Does she watch with a critical eye, or is it sort of just full support? Does she ever say, "Hey, what were you doing here? How's that go?"
Yeah, no, she knows. She knows what she's watching. So
she's watched a lot of football.
Yeah, she's critical. Her dad played in college, and her brother is also a quarterback. So she's got a lot of family football ties, and obviously with me. So she's watched a lot of me throwing. So she knows what's going on.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Oh, Stiz. In a serious note here, Fitzy, do we like this? Like, I know there are people that actually believe, like, if you're married, that means you've, quote-unquote, settled down, you're more mature, you're more ready to be a professional. Does this have any bearing on anything that goes on with Drake May this year?
No, none whatsoever. Like, the only bearing is that there will be no discussion of, even if Ann Michael May, as I believe she's now known, even if Ann Michael has, if she had final say over everything, this will not be any sort of anxiety or any sort of concern lingering over his head. None like, hey, did you make sure to invite all my boys or tell my brothers they all had plus twos or what? Like, no, nothing. This is zero. They are all set. They have honeymooned. They kept their own gifts. They're locked in. Like, his focus is right on football, learning the Josh McDaniels system and winning games and trying to restore the pride in the Patriot way, buddy.
Yeah, and I actually think it can be a positive because,
it should be a massive positive.
You're not, like, you're going home to your wife, and you'll have dinner, and, you'll do what married couples do. You'll watch TV and
go
to bed.
Put on sweatpants and fall asleep on the sofa.
Right, exactly. You're not, oh, my God, can I meet up with somebody here and do this and chase that? And, like, there should be none of that in Joe Boy. I'm almost afraid to now say, yes, Stan Ball.
So we will not see him out in the seaport with Roman Anthony and Marcella Meyer this winter?
No, with a train of women following behind him on Nantucket. No, I don't think you'll see.
That's too bad.
I would hope we won't see any of that.
So Drake May will not be concerning himself with time of beef?
No, he will not be doing any of that. He is now a married, mature man of 22.
So no hanging around Steph Diggs.
Nope. Exactly. Exactly. He's in a different lane of his career and his lifestyle now. And then finally, this morning, as I mentioned, Mike Vrabel was on the Greg Hill Show. No Greg. He's on vacation. Courtney doing a great job. But Courtney seemed to call out the boots-on-the-ground daily reports out of Foxborough here, asking about kind of the highs and lows of camp, and it was interesting to hear what Mike Vrabel said.
Mike, we talk pretty much every day after practices and listening to media that is, broadcasting from preseason practice. And it seems like people get too high on your guys or too low on the guys. It seems like they jump to conclusions or they exaggerate what's going on. How much can...
You mean the media? No.
Yeah, I know, it's shocking. But how much can you really learn from just a preseason practice? Isn't everybody just trying to figure it out at that point?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you can... to that, the ups and the downs, we talked about staying off the roller coaster. You know, our main roller coasters go up, they go down, they get stuck sometimes, and then you're really in trouble. So we're trying to stay off the roller coaster and just continue to build some consistency in what we're doing positively. So, again, people will form their own opinions based on things that happen, more so the plays that are made. Not and you know, maybe sometimes that the negative reaction may or may not be warranted based on what they're seeing or what the responsibility or was or what was going on in the play.
Courtney calling out the beat reporters a little bit there, jumping to conclusions, overreactions. Who gets to decide if they're overreactions? Who gets to decide whether they're observations or jumping to conclusions? I thought that was a little leading the witness there with her morning guest this morning, Mike Vrabel. He also, in his description, because I'd never heard any cliche, it's a roller coaster, right, with ups and downs. I've never heard anybody bring up, and then there's the possibility the roller coaster could just flat out break, and now you're stuck on the roller coaster upside down, and you could die. And I'm like, wow, you took that to a really, that is literally would be one of my biggest night. I don't do roller coasters, but if I happen to get talked into one by somebody, and yeah, then that thing broke upside down, and they're like, yeah, we should have you down in 4 to 6 hours. Oh, my God, that is, I'd die. I think I'd pass out, poop myself, do all kinds of weird things that would not go well.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. My 12-year-old is into them now, and he even watches, like, POV videos to get himself amped up for them. No matter how much prep I do, still at the same time, can't do it. Sorry. I don't care how much science, how much work, how much researching, R&D yeah, went into it. No, Stiz sent me a video a few weeks ago. Stiz put a video out of some ride. Where did that ride break that you sent me that video of, Stiz?
It was certainly not in America.
Oh, the spinning one that
yes,
snapped?
Yeah. I want it maybe Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, that went about as well as it possibly could have for something that snapped and landed. Because yeah, I know some people were hurt, but it kind of landed.
Yeah, no one killed, though. Yeah,
kind of landed butt first for everybody. Yeah. It kind of landed. That could have
been.
Well,
let's hope the
tragic
Patriots, if they fail this fall, they land butt first.
Yeah, hopefully they land butt first. Hopefully they don't fail at all because Mike Vrabel and Drake May are in charge now, and they took part in their first Patriots Monday here on WEEI and WEEI Afternoons, and we're moving forward each and every Monday with those guys. We're moving forward to the Fitzy Five yeah, here on WEEI Afternoons, which will tie into sort of the ups and downs of training camp and the preseason and maybe falling in love with some guys who may end up being great someday, or maybe falling in love with some guys who, ooh, it was just a August fling and it didn't really mean anything for their football careers. The Fitzy Five is up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But for the last time today, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending. Stiz, you would have loved Patriots practice today. They were doing some no huddle, loud environment type stuff. And it, Eminem and a couple other things were as loud as I've ever heard it. And I think it might have been Stretch, John Stryker, who we talked about on Friday. Vrabel's right-hand man was, like, raising his hands to the guy to, like, keep going, higher, higher. It was.
What do you think? I was talking to Dan about this yesterday. So do you think they're setting Stryker up to take Elliott Wolf's place? He'll be the new GM?
No. He'll always be the right-hand man, the senior advisor to the head coach or whatever his role is. He'll always be that. No, Ryan Cowden's the guy that'll take over for Elliott Wolf if they run him out of town. And Vrabel gets full control. 617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons, leading up to the Fitzy Five on a Monday. But real quick, we're going to clean up the phone lines. Let's go to our buddy Matt down in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey. Hey, what's up, guys? Good, good intro by Stiz Grimey there. Like, whoa. But as far as Drake May goes, like, we saw him lose games on his on mistakes he made. And, you know, he obviously didn't win many games, but you know, I see him as a highly competitive guy. I don't think, you know, being from the South, he's 22 years old. Just his cadence is a little, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but he's a high level competitor. I just wonder how long it's going to take for Josh McDaniels' offense to kind of stick with these guys. I said when he got hired, I hope he would dial it back a little bit as far as like the complexity, but I just wanted to know what you guys say about that.
Thanks for the call, Matt. You know, that's an interesting topic that I don't feel like has really been broached very much. Is there were a lot of reports that Josh spent the year off, and I know for a fact did indeed do some of this, visiting other teams, colleges, pro, trying to streamline his offense was the idea, not necessarily dumb it down, but modernize it, different things. And I've heard a lot of, this seems like Josh McDaniels' offense. This looks a lot like Josh McDaniels' offense from back in the day. So
I don't have an answer to where that is. And if it is Josh McDaniels' offense from back in the day, Drake May is not going to be at Tom Brady levels right out the gates. There's going to be a growing process for him in this scheme, Fitzy.
And that's exactly what I was saying in the past break. Like, you can pass judgment on him whenever you want, from last season, the offseason, week one.
Today, if you're Dan Ball.
Sure. If you're DB behind the glass, yeah, whatever works. But I think a fair assessment as to how he's doing learning the McDaniels offense and incorporating it into his skill set really shouldn't be levied until we get into early to mid-October at the earliest. That's my two cents, and I'm sticking with it.
Back to the phone lines. David in the car. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So you guys asked a question about being the face of the franchise. Is it Drake May or is it Mike Vrabel? I do believe it is Mike Vrabel, and this is why. Drake May is still young. He's still a rookie, okay? Until we have a few years under his belt, the playoff appearance, like an AFC championship, fourth quarter comebacks. Mike Vrabel, the fact that he's a Hall of Famer in New England and he was there, I think he's going to be the face of the franchise for a while.
Thanks for the call, David. Yeah, I don't know for the while part. I don't want him to be the face of the franchise for a while. I want Drake May to be the face of the franchise, preferably. Fitzy, okay, we'll give him 6-8 weeks.
Yes, bare min.
By Christmas, can he be the face of the franchise? Can people be lining up for the jerseys?
Remember how we talked about Friday being a baton pass?
Yes.
For the Tom Brady era into the Drake May era. It's no longer Belichick and Brady's Patriots. This now officially stamps and certifies it as Vrabel and Drake May's Patriots. And then Travion Henderson was like, you guys want me to wax seal that with a 100-yard touchdown return? And just wipe the entire era clean and ushered in a new one? Yeah, I remember that. Well, that's the exact same way I feel about this. Vrabel bulldogged his way through the offseason in the early part of the year to make way for Drake to take over by year's end.
Okay. I'll buy the optimism, but I also want to see it. So we'll keep an eye on that as the year goes on. Who's the face of the Patriots? But the face of WEEI Afternoons right now is that big old scary one named Fitzy, because it's time for the Fitzy Five.
And now we go deep inside the mind of a mad fan.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm weird. I'm a weirdo.
Where we rank him up, or is it count him down? Doesn't really matter either way. Here's the Fitzy Five. Fitzy
Five. Yes, it is time for the latest and greatest edition of the Fitzy Five here on WEEI Afternoons. And today's episode, installment, vignette, if you will, is very much inspired by my preseason and your preseason crush du jour. And that would be, of course, the living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer, Efton Chisholm III out of Eastern Washington University, Pauly from Dedham, who is lighting training camp aflame with his quick lateral moves, his breakaway speed, and his playing strength, as his coach said, as he made his remarkable preseason game debut, 6 receptions, 50 yards, and a tutty Friday night against the 3/4 stringers of your Washington Commanders. And that got me thinking, Andy, you know what? We do it every year. I warn myself not to do it in the spring and fall in love with a player after the combine or coming out of college, because the Patriots never, ever, ever take that player that I fall in love with. And Lord knows how many times I have bludgeoned everyone with Ladd McConkey references. But you know what? This spring, everything changed, because the number one guy I had a crush on was Travion Henderson. And look what he did first time he touched the ball as a professional last Friday night. So this got me thinking about the previous training camp and preseason crushes we have all had over the last 25 years or so. You've had a few, I've had a few, we've all had a few, and no, I'm not talking about beers around the fire pit. I'm talking about training camp and preseason crushes, the training camp and preseason heroes who turned out to be zeros, and I've assembled a Fitzy Five of them. Are you ready, sir? This will be a blast from many people's Patriot fan past.
Absolutely. Roll them.
All right, let's go. Here's for number one.
Off the fake to Ridley.
Remember Brian Timms,
yep.
Andy?
Yeah, Timms time. Remember Brian, that? Tebow liked him, too. Tebow hit a big play to him at one point.
Oh, hold on. We'll see if we... Don't give the whole list away at once. Sorry. There was a little bit of a connection that was made there later on. That's right. Brian Timms, and there a little over a decade ago, everybody thought this guy who the Patriots claimed off waivers from the Cleveland Browns was set because big dude, looked about the same size, almost as jacked as David Givens. Everyone was ready for David Givens 2.0. Crushed it in the preseason, especially 2013. And what did that lead to? 2 years of him barely making the roster, 7 receptions, 94 yards, and 1 touchdown reception from Tom Brady in Buffalo. After that, he went to the Colts and was sorely forgotten.
You know
but
what,
it was
though?
A great ride, wasn't it?
If I caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady, I'm bragging about that for years at the local bar, like Norm sitting on the touchdown Brady, drinking.
Oh,
get
Jesus.
Another
here
one.
Comes, here comes that guy in the Letterman jacket that caught the bomb from the Hail right? Mary from Brady.
Like, if you, that would be the greatest experience of any of our lives. Like, you were
I
on
still
an
haven't
NFL
even
field.
Met the freaking guy. I've been okay. providing service for him for 25 years,
excuse
and I've still
me?
Never even shaken his hand.
That's not you his hand, Fitzy.
All right, let's move on. Speaking of the guy that had a crush on Brian Timms in the preseason, let's go to number two.
This is 3rd and 10. Dobson, the man in motion. Tebow over the middle. Finding Sims inside the 30, and he's going to go. Touchdown, New England. 52 yards. Tebow to Sims.
Okay, it wasn't Timms. This one was to Sims. Looked about the same part. Also had as meaningful an impact on the regular season for the New England Patriots in the coming year. How could you forget? And where were you, Andy, when the New England Patriots signed Tim Tebow to the active roster?
That was some of the craziest times here in New England. The circus coming to town. The one of those press conferences, the group interview with him, was unlike anything I'd ever been in. It was...
All right, morning. Seen this many cameras since we signed Tebow.
Exactly. It was overwhelming, Bill. It was over, and they squashed it. And if you remember, yep. Bill was squashing, like, endorsement deals. He was telling Tebow to put the team first and don't sign that million-dollar endorsement deal. Like, that was a weird time. And Tebow was terrible.
Awful. He was so bad. It was as bad as it got. Considering the guy threw maybe one of the 5 most meaningful passes in Denver Broncos history just 2 years prior, only to get eradicated by Brady and Gronk in that divisional round game. Never the same. Not a good quarterback. I don't think anyone ever had more fan favor and fury for somebody who meant less to the NFL than Tim Tebow. What a summer that was, indeed. Oh, wait a second. This must have been the greatest summer in the history of undrafted free agents and preseason heroes who became zeros, because here's another one from 2013, Andy.
From the 22 on first down.
Andy, you're friends with some guys from Sudfeld, right?
No. That was Zach Sudfeld, though. I remember that.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, oh, the guy kind of did earn the job. And then if you remember, talk about the clock striking midnight and returning to pumpkin.
Rotten pumpkin.
God.
Even your compost bin was like, no, I don't want that pumpkin in here. This is rotten.
He was awful. He had a flick in the air interception, right?
Yeah, he got on like his first seam route. He got popped near the goal line and literally just did like Booty did last year, just like threw it up in the air for an
interception. You take it.
I don't want it. He was so good that preseason. We thought like that connection was done. We had like people were like, oh my God, don't worry about it. We lost Aaron Hernandez, but we got Sudfeld. Yeah,
I did
Sudfeld.
Work out.
Worst show in the history of
did
NBC.
He make it to week 2? Was he cut in week 1?
I think he was cut that night.
It was pretty close. Almost immediate like, wow, the preseason is over.
Then he went
over
to the Jets and was not very good for the Jets. But his brother, Nate, not a bad backup quarterback.
No, yes. And I also, before we crap all over everybody, we do realize that these guys were the greatest athletes that ever played in their town, their high school. Yep. They made it to the NFL. We didn't make it to the NFL. Okay, that's over.
Yes, and also, we thought the statue was pretty good, even though everyone else says it was 6'7". And also, they gave us some summertime joy. Speaking of, now here's what, this guy might be the original. He could be the GOAT of preseason heroes who turned out to be regular season zeros. Hit it, Stiz.
You told us that you like Bishop's arm, and here we go. Winding up. A lot of time, a lot of room. Throws it high, a perfect spiral to the end zone, and caught! It's caught by Simmons!
Ah, where were you when Michael Bishop threw a Hail Mary before the end of halftime to become the four-play legend that he was? Did anyone in the history of you working at Patriots.com or anyone you know there ever learn less about the playbook than Michael Bishop?
He got by with athleticism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of his sweet spot, is I'm just the most athletic guy on the field. But he was popular. You know, the classic, the backup quarterback is the most popular guy in town. There was some of that with Bishop, absolutely. Yeah.
God, the guy could throw, like, he was amazing at Kansas State, could run all, ran like Vic, great escapability. What a playmaker, but boy, oh boy, he was not a good quarterback unless you needed someone to stand there and throw it 60 yards. And finally, someone who actually was really good at running the football, not so very good at throwing at it, and gave us, like, some of our only joy of two seasons ago, this guy.
Line of scrimmage. I am a quarterback. Out of the two-minute warning, dropping back, running, and what a move to break some ankles into the end zone as he breaks the goal line for a touchdown, New England.
Malik Mania, Andy. It's all we had in 2023, one of the darkest chapters of recent Patriots history. Remember we tried to talk ourselves into that? You were never into it, were you?
Nope. You know I'm rarely into any of these things. I'm a bit more level-headed than most of you hot-headed fans.
Ah, boy, Malik Mania. That, everyone wanted him to be the starter. They tried to work packages in for him against the Raiders. He ended up getting cut 17 different times, went to the Ravens, and has done a whole lot of nothing since.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to other people like Danny Etling in the 85-yard bootleg against the Giants. Chad Jackson, who caught everything thrown his way and then turned out to be another member of the second-round bust club. Sean Crable, and I even had a couple people shout out Bam Cunningham and Lavette Purnell.
Love it. I believe it's Lovett Purnell. Yes, and I also, the answer to my trivia question from earlier was Thomas Clayton. Thomas Clayton was the preseason running back. He actually led the NFL in rushing with the 49ers in the preseason, but had two separate stints here in New England. Was an interesting guy. I think he had a 100-yard preseason game for the Patriots. He was one of those guys that, yeah, the preseason numbers were there, and then, well, that's all that was there. There was no more than that to go on.
So there's your Fitzy Five for Monday, August 11th, 2025. Five preseason heroes who ultimately became NFL zeros. Brian Timms, Tim Tebow, Zach Sudfeld, Michael Bishop, and Malik Cunningham. We thank you for the memories and hope you're doing well wherever the hell you are these days.
I'm going to throw a couple more on the list. A texter, 617, says J.J. Taylor. He was on the roster for a little while, but J.J. Taylor, the little guy, fits that. And Maurice Harris was a veteran that was brought in that everybody said with Tom Brady was going to catch like 80 balls.
From San Francisco.
Yep. He had a great summer, and, well, he had a great summer with Tom Brady at one point in time. That's going to do it for the Fitzy Five on a Monday, a Patriot Monday. Up next, Odds and Ends here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons coming up here on Odds and Ends, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's cars with a K. Real quick, I need to react to a texter that has kept texting in about Efton Chisholm and Fitzy's assertion he's going to make the team. I'm not so sure. Keep saying they gave him a contract. They gave him a contract. He's going to be on the roster. They gave him a rookie free agent contract. Did he get guaranteed money? Yes. $234,000.
Must be nice.
They sneeze and use that dead money. Like, that does not guarantee anybody anything in terms of. We were talking earlier, would they cut Kyle Duggar and eat like $14 million in dead cap money? So if you think $234,000 is a guarantee to make the roster, you're wrong. He might make the roster, but it's not because of that. Also, a lot of these, the way they're worded, the $234,000 guaranteed also includes practice squad money. So if he went on the practice squad and was making whatever it is, $16,000 a week or whatever, that would count towards the $234,000
they owe. You've pointed out to me before, because I, like many, was uninitiated into the expenses and the money thrown around at trying to sign undrafted free agents, looking at tens of dozens of hundreds and hoping that every now and again there's a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
Maybe Chisholm will be one, but this is considered, this is R&D money. That's exactly what
venture
it is. You
got to
spend a lot to make a little.
Yep. Invest in a bunch of them, and if one of the startups takes off, you're rich and you don't care about the 10 that blew your investment and got nothing out of it. So Efton Chisholm, $234,000, that's not the reason he'll make the roster. If he makes the roster, it's because Josh McDaniels likes him and he catches footballs and makes plays and is a good wide receiver. Christian Arcand, Christian Arcand show. Not a full show tonight, Christian, but you got a little time to rant and rave. What are we going to be ranting and raving about?
Well, we got 1 hour tonight, Andy, which, by the way, I want to compliment you on your level-headedness. I'm glad you pointed that out to everybody. That's very, very nice.
Yes.
I'm making fun of you. Anyway,
I know.
I did enjoy the show today, but I thought that with the Red Sox in particular, I think Rob Bradford said it best. There was a wake-up call over the weekend. That was a real wake-up call for them. Mm. That is a real bullpen. That is your guy Mason Miller there, Andy, and a bunch of – and what's crazy is the – The closer's the one they got to. They actually got to Suarez. Anthony gaveth and tooketh away with a big double and all those strikeouts with the bases loaded. This is a team that still has some things to figure out, and a Houston team that's been pretty good since we last saw them. So I'm working on this. Right now I'm trying to pour through this ESPN Dan Orlovsky quarterback thing. Did you guys talk about this today? Did I miss it?
We did not touch on this today because I did not have time to pour through it like you did. But yes, is this there's some Drake May love in there, right?
I believe so, although I'm going through the first couple, and I'm not seeing much. I'm seeing
I want to say he was
Bryce
7 of
Young.
10,
I'm
Arcand.
Seeing all sorts of things.
I think he's in there. I think he's in there for sure.
He's in there for – he's number 9 in second reaction ability. It's like a whole bunch of different categories. And second reaction ability, he's number 9 there. So you got that going for you.
What if he's 32nd in first reaction ability? That seems like that would be a bad combo.
Well, I was looking at these, like, arm strength. You know, he's got a strong arm, but is it a top 10 arm? Like, his ball placement is good. Is it top 10 in the league? Like, that's what this is. Awesome. And those are some questions that I think Drake May fans have to start really answering this year is, like, is he in any of these categories? Is he in these top 10s? And if not, can he get there?
And can he stop turning the ball over like he did on Friday night with that horrific fumble? Horrific fumble.
That was not great.
As much as Zoe tried to bend over backwards and be like, I think this is going to be an incomplete pass. Nope, Zoe. The McCourties were like, Zoe, are you watching this? He fumbled. He gave the ball away. It was an empty hand. Stick around for the Christian Arcand show. You got an hour of him ranting and raving. Real quick teaser, Christian. Which worries you more, Brian Bello or Giolito's 4 walks in a row?
Giolito.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about Giolito. Bayo's someone who I think is coming up, and it was a hiccup yesterday, but Giolito, he's melted down like that before. I'm scared of that.
All right, Giolito's Italian for pain in my ass.
Stick around for the Christian Arcand show leading up to the MassMutual pregame show leading up to Red Sox baseball. It went well against the Astros last time. We'll see how they measure up this time. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6, WEEI Afternoons. Ted will be in the house. I'm sure he'll have strong reactions to both the statue and the preseason opener. Please join us then. See ya.
Presentation of the beef is a big part of it.